Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as I think most, if not all of you are aware, I have spent the last few weeks on a break. And it was actually a more broken break than I was anticipating, and that's not just a reference to my recent injuries. My computer died about midway through. Some of you noticed I had a different computer that I just set myself up with. That's because the old one locked me out. I shouldn't say it died, it just decided I couldn't use it anymore. It was actually the night before I was to fly out to Indianapolis with Sarah for this convention where we were helping out. I think I've mentioned that Ben has a film company that is his main vocation. So we were getting ready to fly out to Indianapolis to run this booth there to, you know, see some old friends and sell some movies and whatever else. And I organized the whole thing, and I had it all on my computer. And it was the night before we left, and my computer would not let me in. Fortunately, I had been very organized this year, and I had everything set up ahead of time. So I could use my phone and a couple other things, and I was able to make it all work. And it was totally okay. But then when I got back, I realized, well, not realized, but when I got back, I wanted to replace it, get it all fixed. So I did some research, and I went online, and I started looking at exactly, you know, okay, so what am I going to get? What would work, and how do I do this cheaply? Because I really don't want to spend a lot of money, to be perfectly honest. I don't need some big, you know, $1,000 machine. I really don't need that. So I did my research, and I was digging around and whatnot and all of this, and I found a computer. I was really, hey, this is the one I want. It's the right price. It can do what I want. It's perfect. And as I was digging around, I realized, oh, you know what? I could order this on like Amazon and wait a week for it to show up. Or apparently it is available for the exact same price at Office Depot. So I figured, hey, I'll just drive 2 minutes over to the store, pick it up, problem solved, right? So I walked in the store, and I should probably preface this by saying I've only had good experiences at that store until this day. I walked into the store, and the first thing that happened was this gentleman greeted me and asked what I was looking for. And I said, well, I'm looking for a new computer, and I know what one I want, and it's here, and I'm just going to go take a look at it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he left me alone. I wandered over. I started playing around with the screen, playing around with the keyboard. Okay, is this really what I want? Yeah, this seems like a good fit, et cetera, et cetera. All this stuff. And so I'm playing around with this, and this other person comes up to me, and he says to me, can I help you? I said, well, I'd like to buy this computer, and I noticed the price is not what I saw online.
Well, price is correct.
Okay, well, I noticed the price isn't what's on your website, and so I was kind of curious about that, but assuming we can make this work, then yeah, I'd like to pick up this computer.
Well, price correct.
Okay, well, if you look at this with me right here on my phone, I can show you that the website shows it's a different price. Walks away. Goes over and does something, and I just continue to play on the computer for a bit, figuring, well, there's other people here who work here. I'll talk to one of them, no big deal. After a while, he comes back with a newly printed out placard for it with the correct price, the one I had told him was the accurate price. And without saying a word, he slips it into the little thing. I said, so, do I need to go up to the front to pick up one of these, or how does this work? Well, how long has it been since you bought a computer? I don't know, a couple years or so. I mean, you know. Since a couple years, something like that. Well, you know, a lot has changed in the last few years when it comes to computers. So do you really know what it is that you're looking for? Well, yeah, I was looking up online. I was digging around trying to figure out, you know, all this stuff the last couple of days. So yeah, I know what I'm looking for. It's this computer. I'd like to buy this computer here in front of me. Where do I need to go from this? Well, a lot has changed, you know. Okay, that's fine. Because you know the way it works now with software and stuff. I understand things are different. That's great. I'd really just like to buy this computer and leave. Is that okay? Do you have virus program? I don't need any virus software. Thank you. I have what I need at home. I've purchased computers before. I know what I would like. He walks away. So I follow him, because I'm not quite sure what's going on here. And eventually he went into the little back room, and eventually he came out with the box for the computer that I wanted, and he brought it out, and he just dropped it off at the register, and he walked away again. And so I got ready to check out, and the nice lady at the register kind of smiles at me, and I think to myself, oh, great, well, at least we'll end this decently. She rings up my purchase, and then I don't know if you've had this experience when you've tried to buy something or not, but she says, so we have an extended service plan. You know about extended service plans, right? We have an extended service plan, and I said, I really appreciate that. I'm okay. I don't really want to buy the plan, so if we could just make this purchase, I'd like to go home and start setting up the computer. Well, you know, the service plan is really useful. And I think you should consider it because it, you know, it'll save you if anything goes wrong. And I think it's a good machine. I'm feeling happy with the reviews I've seen. I'm good. It's okay. Well, you know, I need to sell this to you. I need to offer this to you. Well, that's fine. I know that you have to do this. I get it's part of the job and all of that. But I'd really just like the computer, and then I'd like to leave. Well, this is my job, sir. I'm sorry, but I need to talk to you about this, and we need to have a conversation about this plan. And I need to, and this just went on. I ended up saying no to this woman like 4 or 5 times. I even finally said, "Look, I got to be honest with you. I just had a really horrible experience with your coworker. I would really just like to walk out of here and go." And she kept pushing, wouldn't drop the thing. And then when I mentioned the coworker, said, "Oh, well, let me call him over here and we'll talk about it." I'm like, "I don't want to talk to him again. I don't really want to see this guy again." And I said, "You know what? Look, I'm just going to buy it on Amazon. It's the same price. No, thank you." And I walked out. And then I had a change of thought or heart, and I realized, "Well, I really do want this thing now. There's an Office Depot in Linwood. I checked online, they had it. I went up there. It went really well." But it was crazy. It was just utterly crazy. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, this first guy, I don't know what his, there's a button. This first guy, he treated me with nothing but condescension. Like, he basically approached our entire interaction with this idea that you are nothing without me. I am the expert here. I'm the computer guy at Office Depot. I can solve all of your problems. In fact, you don't even know what your problems are. You need me so badly. And the woman, bless her heart, at the registrar, or at the cash register, her was almost like fear. Like, she couldn't let me get away without purchasing this extra thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if she was getting a commission or if she'd been in trouble recently or what, but it was like she was terrified that I was going to walk away without buying this extra stuff that I didn't want and I didn't need. And I was thinking about it afterwards, and it was driving me crazy because neither one of them treated me like a person. You know what I mean? Like, to both of them, I was not a person. I wasn't even a customer. I was just this object. Maybe I was a walking wallet. But I never felt like a person. And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come." Your kingdom come, your will be done, as the prayer goes, right? We just said it a little bit ago. We have talked in the past about how the kingdom of God is not just about the afterlife, but it's about this life. Does that ring a bell? It's not just about the afterlife, it's about this life. It's about how we live our lives today and now. It is about how we, as followers of Christ and children of God, live and love. And how we do that in ways that reflect the love of God. I dare say in ways that reflect God's hopes for creation. And when it comes to that, when it comes to shaping this world, when it comes to sharing God's light and love with the world, that falls into this word that sometimes makes those of us in the more mainline Protestant tradition a little uncomfortable, and that word is evangelism. Everybody go, ugh. Because so often we get scared of that word. We get scared of that word because we associate it with certain strands of Christianity. We get scared of that word because we associate it with pushiness, being up in people's face. We get scared of that word because it puts us out of our comfort zone. But at its heart, evangelism is just about sharing and modeling this vision of reality, this idea that the relationship between humanity and creation is not what it could be. It's not what it should be. But it can be. That reality can reflect God's light. When I walked into that Office Depot, I should have been such an easy sell. Right? I mean, look, okay, I wasn't looking to spend more than a certain amount of money, but I should have been one of the easiest customers they had all day. I walked in knowing exactly what I wanted. I walked in knowing they had it in stock. I walked in knowing all of that. In theory, I should have been able to just walk in that door, picked up the thing, gone, checked it out, gone home. It should have taken maybe 10 minutes of my life, probably even 5. To be honest, it should have been something that was so quick and simple, I wouldn't even have thought about it later on. It should have been that natural. But they blew it. They utterly blew it. They did not make me feel like a human being. Too often when people of faith engage with people outside the church, we do the same thing. When I was on the Long Beach Peninsula, y'all know the Long Beach Peninsula of Washington State? Southwest corner. It's where my first call was, a little fishing village out there. Chinook, Washington. I think I told you once that when I first got there, someone told me, well, welcome to Chinook. It's a tiny little drinking town with a fishing problem. They were right. And while I was on the Long Beach Peninsula, I spent about a year in charge of the local Young Life organization. Young Life is kind of a non-denominational youth group. It's the easiest way of explaining it. And I spent that year doing that, honestly, because no one else was willing. It just kind of fell into my lap. I was kind of a bridge between directors. But while I was there, I had all these interactions with people in different church groups and such who had what in my mind was this very unhealthy relationship with folks outside the church. Because they seemed to have this attitude that the folks outside the church, what they really needed was for those people who were in the church to save them. Those people outside the church, they were completely lost and just useless without the folks inside. And I get the idea of being excited about the gospel, don't get me wrong. I get the idea of wanting to share faith. But there was this condescension. You know what I'm talking about? There was this condescension. There was this attitude that, oh, those dirty, unsaved people, they need us. They need me. I can save them. I remember sitting in a meeting once and listening to a couple of people talking about their experiences, and I'm not making this up, talking about their experiences as missionaries and actually keeping score. Well, on my last trip to Africa, we saved 120. Well, my last trip to Southeast Asia, we saved over 200. It was bunk. It was so condescending. It was like that first guy at Office Depot. And yet I see the other thing happen too. I see this thing where we get so afraid when a visitor walks through the door, when someone new shows up, we get so afraid of losing them that we get desperate. Please love us. Please don't leave us. Please buy our extended service plan. Please, please, please like me, like me. I'm nice, I'm friendly, I'm happy. Can I give you a hug? You know what I'm talking about? This past week was the North City Jazz Walk. You know about this? Every year they shut down 15th Avenue out in front. And they have different jazz groups who come around and play music in different venues, and there's food carts and stuff and all these things going on. And this year, because of our new location, we opened ourselves up as a venue. We had a group playing in here. Pearl Django was their name. Great little acoustic group. We had another group in the lower parking lot, Eugenie Jones and her backup.
Wait, Pearl Django was here?
You know them? Yeah, they were here. They want to come back next year. They liked it a lot.
Really good. And he could have had a root beer
club. Oh, life in Canada is hard, Ben. Oh, Canada. Get the joke. Yeah. No, I would love to have you back here for it next year, Ben. I really wanted to have you in the parking lot playing as people walked in. But it was awesome. It was a wonderful experience. And I cannot overstate how proud I was of the people who were here volunteering for that. Because while they were here, I kept seeing all these healthy examples of evangelism. Subtle, natural examples of evangelism. I watched Marlis and Kathy talk up and chat every single person, just about, it seemed like, who walked through that front door. I don't know how many of those people you knew beforehand, but it seemed, I got the impression that between the new of them, they knew everyone at this festival. And as people would walk in, I watched Yansu and Xiongyun go out of their way to help people find seats and find the restrooms. We have signs now, I don't know if you noticed. Find missing family members, because apparently this building is big enough that you can get lost. And I watched Bruce and Elia and Nancy and Kiwan and Carol laughing and sharing stories with people as they were slinging ice cream and root beer floats. Not actually slinging it, but handing it up. It's actually a very minimal mess afterwards. Did you notice that? I was impressed. We had no major spills, knock on wood. But it was so healthy and natural, and at the end of the day, look, it was completely opposite the experience I'd had at the store. There was no condescension, there was no fear, there was just, hey, we are glad you're here, we're going to welcome you here. Welcome to our home. Welcome to this house of God. And no, we didn't sit there and preach scripture at them, and we didn't sit there and hand them a Bible or a tract every time they came in. But over 400 people came in and out of this building and had this experience of this place as a place of welcome. As a place of comfort, as a place of hospitality, as a place that they could be. A place where they felt welcome simply because they were there. Not because of anything special they had done, not because of what we could get from them, not because of what we could take from them or do for them, but just because we were so happy that they were here to participate in this event. And I don't think we should ever underestimate how important that kind of simple interaction is. I don't know if any of those people will ever show up on a Sunday. But in no way, shape, or form did I ask us to be a part of that venue expecting that those 400 people would be here today. Actually, if they had, I don't know what we would have done for seats. I know we have a lot of Rip Your Float left over, so that would have helped. But we didn't do it explicitly for that reason. We did it because we're here. We did it because it's what you do. You welcome and you love and you say, hey, we're your neighbor. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And what is God's will? What does God's kingdom look like? I will give you a hint. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is similar. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all we do. That's all we will do. We will love every person who walks into this building and every person who walks past it. And some of them will want to be involved and some of them won't. Some of them will find their lives changed and some of them won't. But that's not up to us to decide. That is the Spirit of God at work. Our role is just to point at it. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the opportunities you have given us in this place to minister in new ways, to welcome in new ways, to love in new ways. We ask you to continue to bless the ministry of Bethel Lutheran Church, of the other organizations who work from this place that we call home. Help us as we go forward from here to continue to walk in your light and reflect your love. We pray this trusting in your holy name. Amen.